السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are listening. This morning we wish to continue with the discussion which took place yesterday. Inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some very important points are coming to mind. We had mentioned a beautiful prescription which our late Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah had given one particular doctor when he was questioned and asked that how can he develop the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can he become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to recap, so Hazrat mentioned to him that you should try and go a little early to the masjid, and after your sunnat salah, contemplate, make muraqabah, ponder over the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then take a cursory glance over your sins and guna. There will be a feeling of regret and remorse, that on the one hand, Allah ta'ala has been so merciful, Allah has blessed me with so many bounties. And that regret and remorse is actually the essence of repentance and the essence of tawbah. And when the person makes that kind of a tawbah from the deep recesses of his heart, then he becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ, that Allah loves those who repent. So on this particular example, the mind went to an incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, similarly, when he pondered over the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him, then this was something that became a driving force. And this was something that then pushed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to exert himself in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that is unparalleled. There is no one yet that can ever say that his salah is of a higher standard than the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, his dua has got more sincerity, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, or more intensity than the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the greatest. So, if we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Aisha radiallahu anha explained, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform salah, hatta tawarramat qadamahu, to the extent that the mubarak feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become swollen. The nafil salah, tahajjud salah, to such an extent he would stand. On this point we narrate the incident of one sahabi. He said that one occasion I decided to quietly join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his tahajjud prayers. And he said that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commenced his salah with Surah Baqarah. In my mind I thought perhaps Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make ruku after 10 verses or a few verses after that. But he said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued and continued and continued until Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed the entire Surah Baqarah. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commenced the next surah. He completed that surah, commenced the next surah. And then only after a period of time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into ruku, which if you calculated is close to 4 juz of the Quran Sharif in one rakah. And then he says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ruku was as long as his standing. His ruku was as long as his standing, and his sujood, his sajda was as long as his standing. So can we imagine the quality and the level of the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the level of devotion, the level of concentration. I heard this incident from our late Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had completed his tahajjud prayers. And he was in his own home, in the room of Zad Aisha radiallahu anha, and we know it was a little room. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed his salah and made his salam, his gaze fell on Zad Aisha radiallahu anha, his beloved wife. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who are you? She said, I'm Aisha. He said, which Aisha? He said, Aisha binti Abi Bakr. He said, which Abi Bakr? He said, Abu Bakr ibn Quhafa. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suddenly realized. So Hazrat mentioned that this is the example of the walis of Allah and the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they get so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is almost as if the person is right in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes totally oblivious of what's happening around him. Imagine the beloved wife of Rasulullah. That was the level of istighraq and inhimak and devotion and concentration, complete absorption in his ibadat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us some level of concentration in our salah. That is a separate topic. So this was the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inquired from him, that why are you exerting yourself to this extent? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Whereas Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all your sins. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ma'asoom, sinless. Jannat is guaranteed for you. Why are you exerting yourself to this extent? Now this is the thing, respected elders and brothers. Look at the jawab and look at the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. That when Allah has been so kind to me, when Allah has promised me Jannah, when Allah has granted me so many bounties, shall I not then be a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Shall I not then be a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the thing, respected elders and brothers, this gratefulness and this shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's something that should drive us, it should push us, and it should create that kind of a modesty. Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi mentions, فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَاءِ أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that الْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. The mind is going to this hadith sharif, that modesty is a branch of iman. Modesty is a branch of iman. So Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, under the commentary of this hadith, he says, فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَاءِ. What is true modesty? What is true modesty? Say, don't you have shame? Don't you have modesty? But what is true modesty? True modesty is that أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ. That your Allah does not find you engaged in any activity which He has prohibited you from. That the person, there is temptation towards committing some guna, some sin. The beautiful woman is in front of him. He wants to cast that lustful glance. He wants to admire her. But then he thinks to himself, That Allah who gave me sight, that Allah who gave me this faculty of seeing, these eyes that I've benefited from so much, I didn't have to pay anything for these eyes. I have seen so many people around me that are blind, how difficult life is for them. My Allah gave me sight, I can see everything. How then can I use this sight to displease that Allah who gave me this sight? So, when a person then, that kayfiyat and that condition overwhelms his heart, because of which he is able to then restrain himself from that sin. Now we will say that this person has got true haya. This person has got true modesty. May Allah Ta'ala grant us this beautiful quality and this haya, this true haya. The month of Ramadan is an ideal opportunity for the development of this haya, for the development of this taqwa. We did discuss the fact that Allah Ta'ala has kept shaitan at bay. Shaitan is chained up. And قِلَّةِ طَعَام قِلَّةِ manam. The person is, his sleeping pattern is disrupted. His food intake is brought down. Of course, some people, mashallah, at the time of iftar, so they manage to make up for the entire day. So whatever they didn't eat for the whole day, so at iftar time finished, everything is covered. And some people at sehri time, they do some storage. They eat so much, okay, they store for the half the day, and at iftar time they cover up the other half. So then we are defeating the purpose of fasting. But you will notice that generally, even in the month of Ramadan, at the time of iftar too, normally the person wouldn't be satisfied with that particular amount of food. But you find that in the month of Ramadan, at the time of iftar, a person just will have a certain amount, depending on each person's capacity. But the person will just have a certain amount, and then he's fine, he's already full. And normally he'll be able to eat much more. Because one incident is coming to mind, and one Morana went to one masjid and gave a bayan. He said that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith sharif, that when a person eats, فَثُلُثٌ لِطَعَامِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِشَرَابِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِنَفَسِهِ. That when he eats, then he should divide his stomach into three parts. So the one part should be for food, the one part should be for water, and the third part should be kept for air, for the person to breathe. So it so happened there was a doctor sitting there in that particular bayan, so he went home. His wife too was a doctor. So he narrated his wife to his wife this particular advice of the Maulana. So she got very excited. She said that even the Maulana now is, you know, advising the people with regards to their medical health. This is the kind of alim we need to have in our community. You must invite him for a meal. Must invite him for a meal. So they invited this Maulana, who was a Pathan too. They invited him for a meal. So she had prepared about 12 rotis. So the rotis were now put on the dastarkhan. The food was still to arrive. So before the food could even arrive, this Maulisa, mashallah, he polished all the rotis. All 12 rotis finished. So now, food, this doctor went to the wife and said, Maulana finished all the rotis already. Forget the food. Even the rotis are gone. So now when the food came, he carried on, finished the food too, finished the drinks, whatever. Now they're scratching their heads, what's happening here? So now the objection was in the mind. So Maulana, you said in the bayan that you need to keep one third for air and one third. He said, no, you see, we from the village, we Pathan people. You know, we eat very well. So you see that already when I ate the 12 rotis, so now automatically all the air disappeared. So there was no need for any air. The air all came out. And he said, now the water will find some gap in between and finish. The water will go through there. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. In fact, as the Mu'ayyin Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that one Hakim came to South Africa. So the person asked the Hakim, when he was given that medication, he said, Hazrat, must I take this medication before meals or after meals? So that Hakim said, here in South Africa, that masla doesn't apply. Kyunki aap log, aapke pet hamesha bhara hua hai. Your stomachs are always full because the amount of times you eat, breakfast, then 10 o'clock, then 12 o'clock, then lunch too, then after that you have another snack, and then after asr another snack, and then after maghrib the meal, and then midnight snack. And so we always eating. So he said, no, for you all, that masla doesn't apply. So nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, in the month of Ramadan, there should be a certain curtailment of our food intake, which will make it ideally conducive for us to then control our nafs. Inshallah, we'll continue with this discussion tomorrow. Subhanallah bihamdihi, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.